Motherhood is a very special thing. Today, on Mother's Day, we're going to talk about the importance of motherhood in Star Wars with a very special guest. Stay with us.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Jedi Alliance.
Hello, everybody out there on the internet, and welcome to another episode of Jedi Alliance, where we celebrate the greatest saga in film and beyond. I am one of your hosts, the internet's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter, at Mark B. Donica. We got the wonderful Alexis Torres on the couch.
Hi, everybody.
And you can find her on Twitter, at atorres890.
Yes.
I wanted to rush through that because we have a wonderful Jedi Master returning to our ranks, Mr. Joseph Scrimshaw.
Yay!
Hey! Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming back.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to be here. It's a special day.
It's a very special day. What better than two married men to talk about motherhood?
We can clink our rings on the table.
Exactly.
Two married men who don't have children talking about motherhood.
It hurts so bad. Welcome back. In case folks don't know about your other Star Wars project, Force Center, why don't you tell them about that?
Yeah, so Force Center podcast is a podcast feed that I do with Ken Knapsack, who started Jedi Alliance way back in the day with Maud Garrett, and also Jennifer Landa does Force Center with us, who's been a guest here on Jedi Alliance.
Freaking guest on Jedi Alliance.
Couple of times here, and it's a whole podcast feed, so we have a main show, and then I run a show called Databank Brawl, where we read the databank entries of Star Wars characters, usually kind of sad ones like Lobot or Dengar, and then make them fight one another, and usually they find some pride in that improvised fight.
I would hope so, too. And you've already done 50 episodes of that already.
50 episodes of Databank Brawl. Just started doing regularly Star Wars Counseling, which is another show on the feed where mm-hmm. people can write in with the things that deeply trouble them, keep them up at night sweating like Anakin, and bothering them about Star Wars. And I try to make them feel better about it, if at all possible.
It's relief. It's nice that people go something that they're a fan of, and it makes them feel better about themselves, other than, no, you can't like what you like.
Yeah. And they want to feel better. You mm-hmm. know, it is kind of like real life therapy, but with Star Wars, like, I want to feel better about this. Mm-hmm. So I try to help.
I should like this, but I don't.
Yeah.
Help.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah.
Completely unrelated subject. Rogue One. We haven't talked. We haven't really talked since Rogue One. What did you think of it?
Oh, I love Rogue One. You will not be surprised that I have complicated opinions about it.
Sure.
In the big picture, I love it. Like, everybody, I love the third act. The third act is amazing, sells the whole thing. I screamed in joy when Darth Vader murdered people, and then I felt a little guilty about how happy I was to see a mean half-robot man murdering people. I think it's amazing because it's so Star Wars. Like, everything you ever wanted to Star Wars is, you know, you got Pwn Dababa and Dr. Evans, and you got TIE fighters, and you got Darth Vader slaughtering people. And then at the same time, they really successfully made a very different movie to sell that they can do genre movies. So it's a weird experience because it's super familiar and super different at the same time.
Something completely new as well.
Yeah.
Which is why I think a lot of people have complicated feelings about it.
Yeah.
But I totally get you. Might have to do a counseling session for me about Rogue One. But before we get to our main topic, which is going to be motherhood and Star Wars, we're going to talk a little bit of news. The first little bit of news that we do have, there it is a rumor that's going around about Ian McDiarmid returning to voice some version of Sheev Palpatine for Star Wars Rebels Season 4. Now, this is a rumor that comes to us from StarWarsNews.net, and a source of theirs mentions that Warwick Davis was in to record his lines for Star Wars Rebels at a particular studio in London, and just a few days later, Ian McDiarmid recorded at the same studio, there's no real tell whether this could be for Rebels or for Battlefront or for any other Star Wars project or something unrelated, but a lot of the situations were similar. It was a director in Los Angeles, similar to what Warwick was doing, which would be Dave Filoni, as we learned at Celebration. They do line readings over Skype, which is pretty adorable. the biggest question that people have, though, is Sam Witwer has been doing Palpatine for Battlefront. He did it for Rebels, and he sounds amazing. What do you think about this rumor, Joseph?
Oh, I think that I love Sam Witwer. I love his performance. I think he's a great guy. But I feel like if you can get the original, it's sort of respect, right?
Yeah.
Like, the, you know, he's been there before. It's not like it's two competing voice actors. And like, well, we'll use you for a little while, use you for a little while. Like, Ian McDiarmid, he is the one who said, nobody's given me any direction. I think I'll talk like this. Like, he's the one who decided that out of the blue. And, you know, he talked about that at Celebration. Like, what did George tell you? Nothing. They said it repeatedly. So, you know, props to the master. Nothing against Sam Witwer.
No.
But if they got a special moment planned for Palpatine in season 4, let Ian McDiarmid do it. It's fine with me.
Totally agree. Alexis, what do you think?
Oh, I'm super excited. And
regardless?
Yeah, because I feel like either way, you can't really... it's not a lose situation in any way, shape, or form, mm-hmm. I think. So, and I would love to hear his voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why when I heard, wait, Sam Witwer was doing Palpatine? It's so good.
Yeah. It's really
good. He's got a really good Palpatine impression.
Yeah.
There's also that it may be VO for The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Like we got... for Obi-Wan, then the various Obi-Wans in Rey's flashback, so maybe it's something like that. Regardless, Ian McDiarmid is probably going to be doing something for Star Wars again, and that's beyond thrilling. Exciting.
I'm all about that.
Beyond exciting.
Do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Do it.
So this one we don't have to spend too much time on, but Battlefront 2, there was recently an investor event where EA CEO Andrew Wilson talked that Battlefront 2 is going to be launching with more than 3 times the content than the previous game at launch. Now, the previous game had 6 heroes, 5 maps, and 7 ships, and it eventually led to 8 maps, 14 heroes... Mm-hmm. And 7 ships. But
those heroes are crowded in ships.
Seriously. So I think it sounds like it may just be a fancy way of them to go, well, we have all eras and we're going to have an even amount of people for all eras.
Yeah.
But, who knows?
Yeah.
It's way too much. Way too much.
Never enough. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it's right. It's never enough. So is there. Because it's covering all eras of Star Wars, is there any really obscure hero from any era that you would want to play as?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want them to make Ewoks playable. No, they haven't done that yet, have they?
That's what I was going
to
say.
No, they've not made Ewoks playable.
Yeah, as you know, I have video game addiction problems, so I haven't doubled down on Battlefront yet. But I might get this one because it's single player.
Yes.
But yeah, it would be great. I was always an Ewok doubter and a hater because I'm of that generation. But I have been turned to the light side of the little murder bears, as I like to call them. And it would be great fun to play as an Ewok and be able to stab people and then take their blasters and then shoot them and then drum on their heads.
No, seriously, that's all I want to do.
Yeah,
in this game.
I would go one further and be a pack of Ewoks as one character, so that it can be like a phalanx of spears.
Yeah,
and like a instead of a, like a wall of arrows coming at you, just stones.
Right.
Instead of just like Wicket.
I was also thinking of like how they. Like if they make like contraptions, like you can run around the forest and make like netting and stuff. Like,
or you can just leave traps.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Why I thought that would be cool to be an Ewok, because you can leave traps everywhere.
Yeah,
absolutely. You can put meat everywhere.
Yeah, it'll
get
be
everyone.
So fun.
What the hell is this meat doing here?
A stormtrooper coming up. What is this?
Hit X to eat the meat. Yeah. Hit X for meat.
This isn't a trap. Who knew?
It's dinner.
Alexis, is there anybody other than Ewok you would want to?
No, that's literally that's all it. I wanted to talk about.
I want.
Have it scripted.
I'm a big fan of like joke characters.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would want to see how we would get Jar Jar on the battlefield.
I didn't think you were gonna do that.
I'm all about him getting his not comeuppance, but I want him to get his return to glory for him.
Sure.
So if
go for it.
So if it could be him like trying really hard, but much like the battle in episode 1, he just like. He sets off traps the other thing that makes him a little bit more distracting, a little bit harder of like a expert tier character because you really have to try to get like kills and eliminations. I think people would accept the challenge, just so that they can be like, "Yo, Jar Jar killed you, son," or like something like that. something like that. All
that
the trash
would,
talk of like,
it'd be so good.
Man, I just got killed by Jar Jar.
If he was animated to flail around and seem to like shoot accidentally.
Just
like,
oh my god, that would be great. Okay,
I'm at best bet.
I will give you that.
Would you want to unlock him as Sith Binks?
That's
Binks?
Like you have to fully upgrade him all levels, and then you unlock
suddenly,
Sith Lightning for something. Just hovering.
You're gonna die.
A lot of people are saying Jawas versus Ewoks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the height advantage would be...
Oh, my God.
Would be really... You could just shoot people in the knees to bring them down and then club them in the head.
Yeah. Aaron in the chat's like, Jar Jar, Misa, lead the fight. I think it'd be funny.
Misa, Bombat Sith.
Yeah. I love it so much. Slim wants Ahsoka in Battlefront 2.
Oh, yeah.
I think for sure. That's an inevitability. Mm-hmm. If we're getting Clone War era...
Yeah, you're not good. We need Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Like, please.
There's only so many... characters that I would put, I don't know. There's actually a lot of hero characters from that era. But they're doing movies. Mm-hmm. Is the only issue. Mm-hmm. So I would absolutely love it, but I don't know if that would be this game.
Right. Maybe the next one.
Maybe next game is more expanded universe. Yeah, even sure. Though the TV show is an expanded universe. Logic. something
who
that
needs it?
And something that I want to bring up just because. It's a part of the drinking game. Star Tours 87 is near and dear to my heart.
Drink responsibly, everyone.
And there's an artist by the name of Gregory Nowako. He runs a site called Timekeeper XCII. He's doing a series of VR projects to recreate Star Wars, or not Star Wars, but Disney experiences. And he completely recreated, and you can watch it on YouTube in 360 video, the... Star Tours 87 experience.
Oh, cool.
So it starts with Rex, and then the safety visor comes down, and you go on the ride. The same flashes from inside the cabin are all in the same places. And if you have a VR headset, you can download it from their website and view it in whatever thing you have. But it's wonderful to go back. I was doing all of the moves and the jerks.
You remembered when to shake and jerk?
Of course I do.
That's amazing.
Well, I went on that ride so many times. But if you would want... If there's somebody to recreate a moment, a Star Wars moment in VR, what would you want to experience? Because we have this, and then in Battlefront, mm-hmm. you can take down the Death Star.
Yeah, that one's my favorite.
Yeah, but is there anything a little bit more subtle, maybe not necessarily a big action moment, but something that you would want to be right up front to experience?
Yeah, go for it.
I was going to say I wanted to do pretty much the entire scene on Jakku where Rey and Finn meet. And trying to get and start the Millennium Falcon and going.
The battle?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think that would be fun.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like run through the desert and try to evade everybody while getting to the Millennium Falcon, figuring out how to turn it on.
But I could just imagine you just at the bar, just seeing these people just run back and forth in the distance. And then the aerial strike comes out and you're like, I gotta go.
Just be that guy from Jurassic World with the margaritas running around. Just with blue milk margaritas running around.
Maybe you can finally see Constable Zuvio. He'd actually be in there. Because you can see all around. He's got to be there somewhere.
He's got to be somewhere. Somewhere around there.
I wonder where all of those end. I mean, they're smart enough to like pull those, and I figured they've just melted them down.
Oh.
I can't imagine where all of the Constable Zuvios are.
Oh, they're probably going to be a collector's item, I'm sure.
Probably.
I'm sure.
What about you, Joseph?
I was thinking lots of different places. It's cool of me to not think of necessarily scenes, but like environments that I'd like to be in.
Sure.
Like maybe like the Outlander Club from Attack of the Clones. You know, just all the bar environments.
Just watching
the bar environment.
It always comes back.
Pretty much.
It always comes back to Death Sticks.
Death Sticks.
You just see the go person to person, and it ends with him coming up to you asking if you would like some Death Sticks.
No, I'm fine. I'll sleep back on. Or either that or the Bespin dinner while they're waiting for Han and Leia and Lando to show up, just Vader waiting. Like, this is gonna be really cool. When they open the door and they say it's me, their minds are gonna be blown.
I'm waiting. He's so scared.
I'm waiting. Boba Fett, you come out at this moment.
Yeah. No, not that side. Go to that side.
Just do the rehearsal before the actual dinner.
Yes, the Bespin dinner rehearsal. Thank you. That's what I want to see in VR.
That reminds me of one of my favorite Robot Chicken sketches is IG-88 setting up the same thing in a different dining room.
Oh,
just
no.
Like, great. They're going to be so surprised. Then you just hear the kerfuffle in the other room. Like, no!
They're supposed to be here.
Yeah. And then the last thing we're going to talk about, it's not... best way to put it. There were a couple of leaks from the Han Solo film.
Yes, Solo leaks.
And we're not showing any pictures of those because they're very much, or they could be very much spoilers. And the last time we handled leaks on the show, it didn't go over very well for us. On eBay, some concept art of some ships, even a look at how Han is going to appear in the movie has appeared. And I'm pretty sure they were quickly taken down. But do you think that leaks like this could lower anticipation for the movie if we're getting sort of the surprise stuff early?
I don't think it's going to lower anticipation. I think if there's something in there that's going to stir up a hornet's nest with fans, you might have argument before the movie. But I didn't see, I'm not going to say what any of the things that I saw were, but sure. But yeah, I didn't see anything. I saw things that are like, oh, that lets me know that maybe this thing might happen or whatever. But I didn't see anything that's like, I can't believe they're doing that with the Han Solo movie.
One of the articles that I read about this, people were commenting on how Alden looked in the concept art. And they're like, ugh, I can't. What are they trying to do with him? And I was like, what are you talking? It's just a, he might not even be wearing that in the movie.
It's just his face.
And it's also Han's. It's just Han's costume. It looks like an earlier version of it. Come on, it's not like they're giving him a Canadian tuxedo. He's like wearing all denim or something.
Awesome.
No, it's nothing crazy like that. What are some folks in the chat saying?
Oh, okay. I was like, I didn't look at them because no.
No. Good. That's why I didn't put the link in the rundown.
Made me happy.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it might be like the Rogue One trailers. It might be stuff that's just ideas, not actually going to be the final thing. Yeah,
stuff that ends up changing in the last minute.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just reading through everybody talking about Death Sticks, and that ship is garbage. You want to rethink your life? Want to play as Cad Bane? There's a lot of things.
Oh, Cad Bane's a great choice.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I just want more voice lines from him, or like just a filter for your iPhone, like a Chewie mask, but a Cad Bane mask that gives you his tone of voice.
Who would not want to see Cad Bane mom go viral?
I can't even imagine that giggle. Exactly.
He was never happy.
No,
that's why I think it would be weird. Let's see. I think it's mostly mostly Death Sticks at this point.
Corey it's says, always Death Sticks.
It's like I'm in a VR Outlander club right in the chat room. It's great.
Corey said, if I could, could a production designer for a future Star Wars film, it would be Arthur Max of Seven and Prometheus. I guess that's like a prediction, I guess.
Since this does go a little bit into production design, but...
Yeah. It's a cool idea to get that much
Rogue
more gritty look.
His hair is awful. So there's that, and that's about it.
They're probably not at the point. Well, I mean, they're shooting, but probably when those drawings were introduced, they weren't at. You know what? Let's nail the hair first. They probably just found a picture of the guy and just drew it.
Yeah, let's just see what happens.
They just took the pictures of the look and then whatever, and then they do the hair later. That's
probably
how.
Like rough sketches or something.
Yeah, it's a part of production design.
Yeah.
I am.
And they're constantly changing as production happens too, so you never know like where these drawings came from in the production, not line, but like
in the cycle.
Yeah.
Like I said, it could have been early. Could have been. It might be final like at the time, but it could change in the middle of filming. You never know.
Nothing changes, or everything can change until the movie comes out.
Exactly.
Guerrera's hair changed from trailer to trailer. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But then they're sort of bringing that back in Rebels a little bit, which is like, no, it's all canon. It's all canon.
All of it.
All the hairstyles are canon.
He just loves changing it up. All sorts of stuff. All right, so let's move on to our main topic of the day. Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers that may be watching at any given time, whether it's Mother's Day or not. We appreciate you. So there are only four on-screen mothers and main character mothers that we know of in the Star Wars universe, and let's talk about how good or terrible they were, though people had various degrees of death throughout that. So let's start with the earliest one in the timeline that we know of, Shmi Skywalker. Poor dear. I mean, she did the best she could with raising Anakin as a slave, but...
Oh, my God.
Well, no, seriously.
I think she's a good mom.
Yeah.
I think she's a real good mom.
I think so, too. She did absolutely everything that she could to make sure that Anakin made it, and it made him go crazy a little bit.
I don't know if that's her.
It wasn't her directly.
It's not. Yeah, I mean, she handed him off to a very nice, kind gentleman that she clearly had some sort of chemistry with, that she seemed to connect with Qui-Gon. And then she didn't know that guy was immediately going to be murdered, and then he was going to be handed off to a different guy who liked him, Well, Obi-Wan wanted to raise him well, but it's basically like I'm going to give up my kid for adoption because it is the absolute best thing for him. I place him with the most amazing foster parent, and then I don't know that that foster parent immediately dies and hands him to not as good of a foster parent.
Much sweeter rat tail, though.
Yeah.
But that's interesting. I didn't think about that. Is what could you imagine if Obi-Wan came back with Anakin to get Shmi, and she looked at him and went, wait, who are you? You're not the person I left him with.
Yeah.
It's like,
you're another Jedi. Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. Okay.
Awkward.
Is there anything that we didn't see of Shmi that you'd be interested in learning a little bit more about in terms of before Anakin or time away from Anakin?
Yeah, I'm interested in learning about Shmi's timeline and if she was ever force sensitive. And this is like, this isn't going into, this is a prediction, this is what's going to happen. Yeah. It's just something that I would like to see, and I think it would be cool if it happened. Because I think at some point they are going to want to go back to Old Republic for the movies. I think maybe after the sequel trilogy they'll go to Old Republic for the next saga.
Yeah, way back.
And then I started thinking about, like, well, were there Force-sensitive Scrimshaw? Or Scrimshaw? God, I say my own name too much.
Valid question.
Yeah. Force-sensitive Skywalkers.
I actually do want to know about that.
I want to know if my mom is Force-sensitive. I hope you are, Mom. No, if there are Force-sensitive Skywalkers before Anakin, like, which me Force-sensitive, so we could get, you know, generations past in the Old Republic where they're, you know, Skywalkers.
Yeah. Along that line, I want to know if Shmi was an only child. If there are any other generationally.
Yeah.
Because then there could be an entire line of Ted Skywalker, you know? Yeah. Just like,
Ted Skywalker?
Yeah, just Ted Skywalker. Just traipsing around the galaxy. Yeah.
Hanging out.
Yeah, this war is ruining my crops, eh?
Ted Skywalker.
Also Canadian.
You know, it's a good go-to.
I like it. No, yeah. I love it so much.
Things are turning up for old Ted.
Yeah, but no, I was actually in the same boat because I was wondering if there were just random Ted Skywalkers walking around that we just didn't know about. And I would love to go into that, whether it was animation or live action at one point. That would be awesome.
Or comics.
Or comics, yeah. Either. Any
slice
type of
life
media.
Anime.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, smoke signal, like Pocahontas, like, you know, stuff. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like,
Ted.
Yeah. You know, just like, I just think it would be really cool to see if there was anything else that was in that line that would come back.
And then, like, how did she end up a slave? And when she found herself just pregnant with Anakin and there was no father, was she just like, okay? Or did she,
like this
go
is happening.
Find someone to talk to about that? Like, I think there are a lot of interesting stories to tell with Shmi.
The intricacies of surprise motherhood.
Exactly.
Yes. Which is the best way to put that.
And I just want to see what her journey looked like, trying to figure out how either A, how she got there, or B, just, literally dealing with this surprise.
Surprise baby. Speaking of surprise babies, that's not a good transition. Padme Amidala slash Skywalker. Mom, for a very short time, also got a case of the death.
Welcome to the very sensitive Mother's Day show.
That's us.
It makes sense why Star Wars got bought by Disney. It just makes sense.
Your
moms. Bye, moms.
All your moms are belong to us.
Well, I mean,
or lack thereof.
Lyra kind of followed along.
No, that's what I'm saying.
There is, yeah.
There's very Disney about a mom dying in the first act.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But for Padme, does anybody wonder what Luke and Leia would have ended up if she had stayed in their life?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like they were both shaped a lot by their adoptive mothers, so something certainly would have been different. I think Leia might have still had that same core sense of duty that really defines her character that she clearly got from Rey Organa raising her. But obviously that's a huge part of who Padme is, too, is like she is devoted, she sacrifices to get the job done. But I wonder if they both would have been raised with a little bit more of a clear idea of you might have fate, you might have destiny, you might have a big, even bigger responsibility.
Yeah.
Like Leia already was raised with responsibility as, you know, growing up basically into the rebellion.
Sure.
But even more like, and also you might have these cool wizard powers that could save the entire galaxy. So even more responsibility.
By the way.
Yeah.
When do you bring that up? When does that talk happen? When it's like slowly floating towards aunt and uncle?
It's all covered in bloodline,
right?
I think the best look at what Padme, like, if she had gotten back into politics, which I assume she would have, knowing everything that had just happened, it would be very similar to Bloodline. And I wonder if she would still send the kids off for their safety, being in this big public eye.
Yeah, that's really interesting to think that if she had survived and she took the kids off into hiding herself and then was, you know, way out somewhere like on Tatooine or whatever, and then she would feel the call of joining the rebellion when it starts mm-hmm. to happen. She would know, like, I can't hold myself back, I can't hold my kids back, but I want to keep them safe. That would have been torture.
A sweet mix between Mon Mothma and the General Leia that we know now.
Yeah.
But still, like, oh my god, I didn't know Senator Amidala was still alive.
Yeah.
That's another. It's those little bits, those what ifs. That actually, Marvel has a history of doing what if comics.
Yeah.
So I'd absolutely this would top my list.
Yeah, that's a great what if. Yeah. And shout out to Aunt Beru for I think she did a great job raising Luke. Not a mom, an aunt, but she's an adoptive mm-hmm. mom, right?
And same thing with the Organas.
Yeah.
The also surprise motherhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the chat saying about Padme?
Sorry, I'm reading the Ted Jed Skywalker ? But yeah, it looks like surprise. Trying to go through all of it because there was a lot of talk. Some people said that they haven't watched the prequels in a while, so they can't really.
Oh, think about Shmi in as much detail. Yeah.
Well, then we'll give him a suggestion. Why don't you go back and check out the watch-alongs that Joseph and I did of episodes 1 through 3? It's a great way to sit down with a couple of old friends and watch a great couple of movies.
Aaron said Padme's first concern upon hearing she was going to die in childbirth was about the baby, so I think that she's a great mom.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody thought that it would be very interesting to see that twist of Padme surviving and seeing how the kids would do. That was from Gregory. Ronaldo's like, nope, everything happened the way it was supposed to.
That would be a great what-if comic book. You just open it up and it says, nope.
This is the like, way nope, it is. This is how it is.
No, but I know what he means, that, you know, Star Wars is such a story of destiny. It seems like that's the story, period.
But I
so
feel
it's
like
relatable.
Even if Padme did survive, I feel like she would still die early to start their journey in maybe a different light in that way or shape or form. But I would have liked to see how Luke was. I told my dad actually about our questions today for the show, and he was like, "I'm just really glad that Luke's not going to be a whiny butt anymore. Maybe if Padme was still alive." And I was like, "That's rude." And if you think about it, and I was like, "Okay, I'll ask the guys and see what they think." But
I think he'd still be pretty whiny.
Yeah.
He whines on one line. I will fight to my dying breath. And have you ever wanted to go to a thing and then your parent says you have to do a chore?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on.
You do the exact same thing.
I was going to go to Kmart to look for Star Wars toys. I said that pretty much exact.
I was going to say, were you there with my wife last week? let us know what you would have wanted from these two characters, since we didn't get to see them as much in the motherhood role. Continuing on that thread, Lyra Erso.
Yeah.
But did you get to read Catalyst?
Yeah.
Yeah. Her role in that, just as a strong character, really helped when I went back and watched Rogue One a little
absolutely.
Bit more.
Absolutely, yeah. It was fun to be able to know a mother before the Disney curse happened of dying in the first act, as you're talking about.
Yeah.
So it was fun to already know her from reading the book. But even if you're just seeing the movie, I do like that she had a really kind of important point, at least for somebody who is going to have to die right away, of that. She knew that this isn't a good idea. She didn't think she was going to take down Krennic and all the Death Troopers. It was just that great spirit of, this is unacceptable. My family has run and run and run from the horror of the Empire, and I can't just run and hide anymore. I have to do something.
Yeah.
And so she was sort of in that act carrying the theme of Rogue One, because that ends up being that whole third act of everyone involved with the Rebellion saying, no, we can't take this anymore. We have to do something, no matter what.
And that initial spark in Jyn that she may not have had up until that point.
Yeah.
She didn't know the seriousness of everything. And it's unfortunate to have to learn that at such a young age, but she carried it with her till the end.
Yeah, and I thought the actress of Lyra did a great job of just sort of conveying that. Like, no, I know I should just go hide with my daughter, but not today.
And I wonder if, I know we have the book, but I wonder if we'd be able to get that, any sort of expanded content in terms of on screen, whether that be animation or motion comic or something where we can get a little bit more of the performance in there, because I couldn't not hear the actors in my head.
Yeah.
It's a nice benefit to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we might get that someday, that they'll start making the books into one shot animated movies.
Mm-hmm.
the books continue to be as popular as they are.
It's a matter of time.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised. Maybe that'll be Star Wars Phase 2.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Keep with the Marvel lingo.
Well, everybody in the chat loves Lyra. Slim said she was a great mother. Rogues 1138 said, I wish she was a Jedi and passed along her cyber crystal. Ronaldo said, Lyra, I'm trying to combine her last name in there, is a badass.
Yeah.
I love
to be sure.
Yeah. Sluice Friggins was like, oh, Lyra, troublesome as ever. they think that it's also great motherly advice that she said, trust the Force very early. And that they thought that she was a great character in Catalyst.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we're all kind of on the same boat there.
Yeah. That was the only
we're all team Lyra.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that, in terms of book and movie, that I wish they cemented home a little bit more is in the movie established what the Kyber Crystal was about instead of just going, oh, that's a Jedi thing. I know that's a Jedi thing. Maybe it's a Jedi thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, her husband researched Kyber Crystals and it's a memento of her father. And
that great character of Lyra, that she is one of the people who like is vaguely aware of the Force. Like, mm-hmm. you know, in the book, it's really clear that I can't use it. I can't move things with my mind, but I can kind of feel it.
Yeah.
And the universe feels different now that the Jedi are gone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just getting that idea of the Force is not just a thing for Jedi, but it affects lots of people in the galaxy, like Lyra.
Yeah.
And the crystals.
Mm-hmm. She's a great character. If you haven't checked out Catalyst, make sure to check it out. Do audiobook. That's a little bit more. That's a little bit more of a good experience. I can't word today.
It's okay.
It's been a long day.
Ronaldo said, "Anyone notice the Jedi robe she wore before they changed her backstory in reshoots?"
I don't think it's necessarily a Jedi robe.
I thought they were just robes.
I mean, everybody wears robes.
I feel like everybody has like some sort of robe in Star Wars.
I think at the bottom line here is Jedi dress like farmers because they're all. You know, on Tatooine?
Yeah,
in Rogue One? On Lamu there?
You just broke my mind for a second.
For me, it's more, I have an issue with what Galen wore because it looks like the Under Armour logo. And it just always bothered me that it's like, did you not cover that up in post?
Product placement.
They're like,
so,
way too overt.
Under Armour's like, can you guys put us in like a Star Wars movie? Sure.
No.
It's right there.
Kathy Kennedy's like, no. No, it's not. All right, whatever. Make it work. Somebody just make it work. And then the last official mom on screen mom that we're going to be talking about, Leia Organa. This is fun stuff in the chat.
This is the longest thing. Barry O'Mac. I'm just going to stop there because his name is very long. Mama Sith Lord is a sitcom I'd watch. How's your breakfast, son? Good, good. Turn the bacon to the dark side, you will, or something like that.
We don't have any Sith mamas, if you will.
No, Sith
Mother
mamas.
Talzin. Is that's, Darth Maul's?
Okay,
and she's not technically Sith. She's a night sister.
Yeah,
a night mama.
She's a night mama.
She is a lady.
On the shirt. That's night mama. Lady of the night, and have her character.
Next up on the CW, night mama.
Forgive me, I was in film mode.
Understandable.
But yeah,
great.
Let's talk about Leia. Now we did cover Bloodline on the show a little while ago. Go check that out if you haven't read that book. Absolutely amazing, but it covers her time as a mom, but Ben's not around.
Yeah.
Which is the most complex thing. I would have liked it if we get a little bit, maybe in the movies, of right when Ben is born, and maybe not like a Damien, like, seed of evil sort of thing.
Yeah.
But see what what family life was like.
Yeah, I mean, totally spoiler free, there's a little tiny bit of that in the Aftermath trilogy.
Oh, okay.
Just like the very beginnings of exactly what you're describing.
Okay, cool.
Or similar to it. But yeah, it would be great to see a little bit more of the Leia being a mom.
Mm-hmm.
I think my vote is going to be that Leia's a great mom.
Oh, well, I totally agree.
I have met in my life jerks who have great moms. I don't think it's Leia's fault.
Mm-hmm. And all of the memes and macros and things of that nature suggest that it's all Han. And I like that version of fan conjecture where it's just like, ugh, whatever, Han. It's like, mommy! And I hope we get... Unfortunately, due to the untimely passing of Carrie Fisher and what they had planned for episode 9, I hope we get some sort of on-screen interaction between the two of them, but if we can't, let's see what we can get.
Yeah. I would love in episode 8 to see her reach out through the Force to Kylo, because that's always been Leia's Force power, and they've developed it even more in the book, that she's good at emotional connections, at, you know, being intuitive. So that would be an amazing scene if she was able to reach out to him and just be like, what are you doing, child?
I just thought of a very mom line of it. It's like, I didn't see you at your father's funeral.
Mom! Get out of my head.
Get out of my head.
Get out of my head, Mom. God. Yeah, that's the thing, is we still have more Leia to get to, so we can't kind of,
yeah.
So there we can only say so much. I wanted to give a special shout out to our TV team mom, Harrison Dula, who's not necessarily a mom, but she's a mom.
A lot of people describe her that way, yeah.
Yeah, she's the team mom.
Yeah, absolutely.
Team mom.
Yeah, she's got plenty of orange slices at any given time. Yeah. She goes through so much for all of the crap that the kids give her. She deserves every accolade that she's been receiving. It's nice of her to finally get, well, not finally, but to continually get promotions and more military accolades, more responsibility, because she can handle it.
Yeah.
She can do it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think one of the reasons that people like her is a mom, because a lot of the ones we're describing in the movies, we get to see them at, like, the beginning or the end of their being mothers.
Yeah.
And this is Hera being actively a mother for her found family.
Yeah.
And we get to see her doing things for herself and being a whole person, and then also mothering the team.
Yes.
So you get to see, like, a whole mom.
Instead of the Disney mom, which was like, I love you so much, dead.
Yeah.
God.
I mean, that's Disney. Out of those four, we still, I mean, the universe keeps changing, and we keep getting more and more from all these different eras. But out of those four, who would you say is the best Star Wars mom? Or even beyond that?
See, this is why it was tough, because technically we didn't get to see the mom that much.
Yeah, I think for me,
you know what I mean?
The thing is like, I think we see the on screen, I think we see the most active mother work from Shmi.
Yes.
Because
yes.
We actually see her with her child. We see that dinner scene where he, like a kid does, quotes back to her, like, this is what you always say is the biggest problem in the galaxy, that people don't help each other. So you see a little bit of, like, you can imagine their life together. Like, every day she's like, you know, really remember, we should help each other, and you go do that pod racing. I don't really like it. It scares me when you do that, but I understand why. And so in a way, I feel like the best representation is Shmi, just because we see it.
Yeah.
I agree.
But if I had to vote best mom, I'd just say Leia, because come on, it's Leia.
It's Leia.
I mean, I wore the shorter on purpose.
Sure, sure.
Just to say. But yeah, I agree. I think out of at least example, I think Shmi's the best.
Well, I liked what you brought up with Padme, which was just even... Her only moment seeing her kids was making sure that they were
okay
and taken care of and living.
And I think that's, like, one of, like, my, like, I mean, I know, again, it's for plot, but, like, I think it was one of the regrets that I would love to see, whether it's, again, comic books, movies, or whatever. I would just love to see if there was a twist in any way, shape, and form that she could be a mom. I would just love to see that.
Yeah.
'Cause I think because of just, even from what we've seen in Clone Wars and everything, her character herself is fantastic, and I've always loved her character, and I just would love to see more of that.
Yeah.
If I could. Obviously, canon-wise, I can't, but it's fine.
You never know.
That's the thing is my favorite thing about the subject is they all show different ideal qualities for motherhood, and because it's hard to pick. It's hard to pick best mom, because even Lyra, you would have to read a little bit more in the Catalyst to know more about her and her character and what she's about. But all of these moms for all of the character stuff that we know, whether it's on screen or off, is like, they're the best mom.
All raising kids in difficult times, too. It's not ever like they're not worried about, like, oh, will we get this kid into the best school? It's like, no. How should we survive on the run with this kid?
Yeah. And I think that was the other thing, at least with Star Wars, that I've noticed any mom or anyone who's going to be a soon-to-be mom or whatever you want to call it, I think that they're all very strong, and they've always kept that up the entire time. There's never been one that's, like, too overprotective. They're kind of like how Shmi was, where it's like, I know what you're doing, but I'm going to let you do it. I don't like it, but I'm gonna let you, you need to, you know.
Yeah, and even Bru's like, you can't keep him down on the farm forever.
Yeah.
His friends have left. Let him go.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's very interesting to see these kind of moms be able to understand the kind of, obviously, the environment that they're in, and be accepting, but at the same time be like, be careful.
Yeah.
Like, I can totally see Leia being like that. She can probably tell, you know, that Kylo is kind of back and forth, or Ben is back and forth, but she probably still had enough love that she wanted to steer him in whatever direction that she could.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was just, that's the one thing I love about this episode and just talking about moms in Star Wars, is that they're just very loving, doesn't matter what side they go to.
For Leia, it seemed like understanding Space Destiny.
Yep.
Just trying to enjoy the good times as long as they
as
were around.
As much as you can. Yeah.
As long as, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it more in Empire's End for the Aftermath books?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There's some great stuff toward the end.
Okay, because I keep starting the second one.
Life Debt. Yeah.
And then like, oh, Ahsoka came out, or oh, Catalyst came out. So then I forgot, so I have to go back. I did see a very terrifying Mr. Bones cosplay at Celebration.
Oh, really? That's great.
And it was a kid too, which is just like even more terrifying. So we're gonna have fun with this. People talk about it, have been talking about it ever since episode 7. But Rey's parentage. Of the characters that we know in the Star Wars universe, who do you think would raise her best? We're not talking about, oh, she's a Kenobi or whatever, but right. What character in the universe do you think would raise Rey the best?
This is hard because it's so much about speculation. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, because so many of the moms have died, a lot of our speculation is about her father.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or perhaps she's born of the Force. So mm-hmm. I'll cheat and say the best mom might be the Force.
Yeah.
She's born of the Force.
Really hard to deny that. Cosmic energy.
You know, Star Wars is so much about found family. And, you know, we've been talking about that with Beru and Rey Organa being just as much moms as the actual biological mothers. That it would be cool. Again, the sadness with Carrie Fisher passing away. It would have been great to see that relationship develop.
Yeah.
Because Leia knows so much about what Rey is going to have to go through. Because she has been with Luke as he's went through it. She's... you know, been with her own son, Ben, as he's gone through it, and really understand Rey's Force abilities, and also Rey suddenly being thrust upon her this destiny and responsibility, that stuff that Leia could guide her through.
I wonder if we do end up seeing that in
episode 8. Yeah, we still could, yeah.
Yeah, they're usually really good with showing us very little of Acts 2 and 3, so...
Right.
Hopefully that's coming up. Man, we got all the best answers, man. What are folks in the chat saying?
I was like, don't put me after that. You can't go after the Force. What are you talking about? I think Leia would be good because of the fact that she understands how the Force works and would be able to guide her through. But I also think Padme would actually be a really good person because of the fact, again, that she's very accepting and she's just an all around, like, she goes the extra length to do the research, but you know what I mean? Like,
As evidence in the Clone Wars, sometimes she'll go a little bit further than her public persona can allow her to in order to make sure that the right thing gets
done.
I feel
like Padme usually always goes the extra mile for people that she really cares about, mm-hmm. you know, and we've seen it on countless times, and everybody in the chat is kind of in the same boat with Leia right now. Sleuth said Admiral Raddus. I don't know if that's an actual answer.
Raddus is the best answer for just about everything.
Be
he's
the best, Mom.
So positive. I am in love with his quote about probing that shield.
Jeff Wood said Satine.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, that if any of those Obi-Wan Kenobi teamed up with a Mandalorian woman of some kind, Mandalorian woman would be awesome.
Yeah,
Mandalorian Jedi canon fans would just...
No, and that's kind of what I want, but I'm just going to throw that in
the back. Yeah, Rebels is throwing some stuff out there with that, so
Stephen Mullen said Ahsoka would be a good mom for Rey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That... beat me to it, but being exiled, being alone, dealing with this power and responsibility, but also ultimately knowing when to do the right thing, when's the best time to step away, and maybe be a little bit smarter than stronger.
And if The Last Jedi story does end up being a story of Luke being really unsure of starting the Jedi Order from an organizational standpoint, you go do the Force.
Yeah.
Here's the light side, but I'm not going to, you know, there's not going to be any group meetings because I don't believe in that. Ahsoka knows all about that because she left the Jedi Order. So that's
gotta
a great answer.
I got to get HR. I got to get all these payroll started.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to deal with that.
The exile thing is a really good point.
Yeah.
Ahsoka.
I didn't even think about that.
Because the thing, like, there were no Jedi left, that still doesn't tell us anything about Ahsoka.
Yeah.
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 No, it makes sense.
And do we know how long her species lives? I think
the
we...
Gruta?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think I know the timeline.
We looked up a species on a previous show, but I don't remember if it was that. Check it out. This one of my things that I want for Luke to mention is... there was one of us that did it well, and it was Ahsoka the Grey, or whatever, just like name drop or something. I think that would be absolutely great. Let us know what parent you think would be the best for Rey in the comments down below, or on Twitter at Jedi Alliance Pod. Now, this is probably the most difficult question, and arguably the easiest. Which character would you want to be your mom?
That's very difficult.
So I can start.
Yeah.
IG-88. No gender.
I knew it.
Who doesn't want a death bot? Who doesn't want a death bot for mom?
Do you want to be secretly robotic yourself, or do you want to have been adopted by
IG-88? I'll be a cyborg. I'll have awesome sea claw hands, and strangely be able to hold and operate a gun.
Oh my god.
Honestly, it's very hard not to pick Leia.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very hard not to pick Leia.
That was definitely going to be mine.
But I would also say Mon Mothma.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I think Mon Mothma is a great answer.
Even though she has this huge responsibility, and we're seeing her more come into her own in Rebels, and how absolutely mad it would be to...
I found it.
Did you?
Yep. Up to 94 standard years.
Okay.
She could be around.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
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 Ooh.
Guys.
On screen Ahsoka. It's happened. Confirmed.
I want it.
Half-Life 3 confirmed. But, I would say Mon Mothma, despite just how intense her life would be from the beginning of the Rebellion and until her end just before the First Order shows up.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to offer Mon Mothma as well, partially just because she has such sweet, expressive powers that you could get from your mother to be able to just give people that deadpan, cold-eye stare. So good at that in Rogue One, all those clips.
Yeah.
She's obviously a brilliant tactician and military leader, and she could have passed all that down, and that would be great.
I think it would be sweet to live a sweet club life. Too sweet. Sized noodles, I think, would be cool.
Yeah. My other answer would be Yaddle.
Yeah. Yes.
Who is the mysterious Lady Yoda? Who,
the who unknown
we don't,
race.
We don't know what happened in canon with her. She's just not there in Attack of the Clones. We don't know.
Nope.
And
out in another forest.
Yeah, I feel like if she was my mom, she would have to tell me what species she was.
What are we?
What are we, Mom? What are we, Yaddle, Mom?
There was a smaller situation similar to the end of Revenge of the Sith, where Yoda and Yaddle had kids, and she had to hide out.
Oh my god.
So she's on a different swamp planet with the future of the Force, and since presumably it's a similar species to Yoda, they can live several hundred years.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, Yaddle might still be kicking around, true.
I hope I said that right. I probably didn't. Patton said totally Padme as long as she was still alive and didn't die immediately. Rogue said, would Mon have time to raise a child?
No, probably not. You could get away with stuff, and then when she caught you, she would give you that, I'm so disappointed in you face that she'd be really good at
it. And that would be the worst one. Like, I know our parents do that, but, like, I think that would actually kill me. Like, that would break my heart.
Little head shake.
Sorry, Mom and Dad.
You would have to sign various, like, the room cleaning accord. There would be literal laws of the household.
Yeah.
A lot of cool nannies.
Yeah.
A lot of cool nannies. Yeah. Slim 41/3 said Nora Wexley.
Oh, yeah, Nora Wexley's great.
Mom. Nora's a good poll.
Kingsport Cal said, because I'm a Sith, Asajj Ventress, which I'm actually kind of, I totally get that.
If she wouldn't kill you instantly.
Yeah, I mean.
You'd just slow me down.
I mean, okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
But hey.
I mean, we saw.
Pick your mom.
Yeah. Let's see. Alpha said Shmi as well. Lobot?
Lobot. Good mom. Can I really quickly mention one other Star Wars parent?
Please.
That I wanted to mention?
Yeah.
It's George Lucas's birthday today.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I know.
As well as Mother's Day. And George Lucas is not a mother, but he did give birth to Star Wars. So
George Lucas?
Shout out. Yeah. George Lucas would be an okay mom. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty sweet. Get to inherit that chin.
Yep. That beard. He's got a nice beard.
Yeah, he's got a nice beard.
But yeah.
Stephen Mullen,
shout out to George.
Stephen Mullen's a Captain Phasma. Because you have the coolest, because my mom has the coolest stormtrooper armor is what he said.
Oh, that's cool. But I think she would be a total authoritarian and crack the whip.
Yeah.
So much punishment. Trash compactors aplenty.
Oh, God.
The Dianoga. We don't know which end of the Dianoga was. Yeah. Very Slim, spooky mom.
Slim's like, who gave you permission to remove that helmet? I would like Maz.
Oh.
Or Maz, sorry. Yeah. I would like
Interesting.
Her to be my mom.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That would be a fun childhood, running really around that castle.
Yeah. And like around that. I mean, it's a cantina.
It's a castle. Oh, a castle cantina.
Yeah.
Castletina, yeah.
I would love to live in a castletina.
One castletini, please. So let us know who you would want to be your mom in the Star Wars universe in the comments down below. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Joseph, thank you so much for coming
absolutely,
back.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's great fun.
This is a lot of fun. Please, we'll come up with something fun and we'll have you back real soon.
Oh, yeah, I would love that.
Because news is pretty boring. And until we see you again, where can the folks find you? What are you up to?
Yeah. You can find me on all the social media is at Joseph Scrimshaw. All my random comedy adventures are on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. And if you want to check out Force Center podcast feed, we are at Force Center on all of the various podcast places. And check out our Patreon, too, at patreon.com/Force Center.
That's right. Congratulations on that.
Oh, yeah,
it looks like it's doing really well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. I'm just congratulations on 50 episodes. I hope you get 50 more episodes.
Well, thank you.
Of Data Bing Brawl. Alexis, where can the folks find you? What are you working on?
You guys can find me all over social media at atorres890. That's atorres890. I'm on a bunch of shows on our sister network, AfterBuzz TV. I can't list them all because there's so many, but you can definitely just follow me on all the things and you will see them.
And you can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. You can find the network here at The Popcorn Talk on Twitter, and follow the podcast at Jedi Alliance Pod. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Jedi Alliance. thank you for listening because Chirrut Imwe died to bring us this information.
No, why would you do that?
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.